WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this funky fresh Friday. Can you believe that it's already Friday? That's right, October 28, 2016. And folks, we are getting you prepared for the big game tomorrow afternoon at Spartan Stadium. That's right, the big rivalry between the Michigan State football team, who will invite U of M, yeah, to East Lansing. The big game, folks. And you know what? Yeah, you hear the background noise, right? This is a bit of a different show, okay? This is our very first in-house tailgate show here at Current Sports. I'm excited about it. Everybody's coming in right now. We've got chips. We've got dip, salad over there for those trying to stay healthy like me, right? Pizza, hot dogs. It's pretty insane right now, okay? So just one time, go green. Yeah, you hear them. They're going to be here throughout the entire hour. The first time we've ever done this. Exciting stuff. And folks, we have not one, not two, but three live guests throughout this hour that are going to preview the big game tomorrow. We will invite Todd Duckett, former Michigan State running back who played for the Spartans from 1999 to 2001, had a seven-year career in the NFL. Todd will join me live in studio to give his thoughts on what is taking place for the Spartans and what to expect tomorrow afternoon. Also, Darian Harris, former Michigan State linebacker and captain who played for the Spartans from 2011 to 2015. Darian trying to make his NFL dreams come true. He will join us live in studio around 1:30. And on the back end of the show, we will invite Deshaun Tate, host, producer, and reporter for CBS Radio down in the ATL. So as you see, a jam-packed show, the very first in-house Current Sports tailgate show. And guys, one more time, make some noise. Yeah, they're pretty live in full effect, all right? But hey, let's start this party like we always do, okay? Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners.
Michigan State University is proud to present the Spartan Marching Band.
How about that? It's the first time we've ever started the headliners like that. Shout out to Isaac Constance there. All right, first off, playoffs? Yes, playoffs. The end of October means the beginning of high school football postseason. And tonight there is a full slate of games that will highlight a few local area teams that hope to make a trip to Ford Field. Starting with CAAC Blue champion Grand Ledge will open up the playoffs at Granville. East Lansing is in the playoffs for the first time in 4 years and will play at DeWitt. Fowlerville, who is in the state playoffs for the first time since 2010, will be at 8-1 Mason. Williamson will play the role of underdog with a 5-4 record at Sexton. I will be there tonight. I'm looking forward to that matchup. Grand Rapids West Catholic travels to face CAAC White powerhouse Lansing Catholic. Reigning D7 runner-up Pawama Westphalia faces Hesperia. Olivet, another 5-4 team that snuck in, will look to play Spoiler in Berrien Springs. And lastly, Stockbridge is at Ida. This is Mason G. Montgomery's last shot at a state title, while he already holds the state record for most TDs in a career. Impressive stuff. So high school football action, the playoffs starting tonight. Can you believe that? All right, some local news concerning a basketball team here in mid-Michigan, high school basketball team here in mid-Michigan. J. Otis Davis will take over as the Lansing Sexton basketball head coaching job after Carlton Valentine resigned in August. Even the biggest of Lansing area basketball fans will have to bring out their history books to find Davis's name, as he won two championships dating all the way back in 1959 and 1960. The Michigan State hockey team looks to get their first win of the year as they host Princeton tonight at 7:05 p.m. The Spartans are 0-4 on the year and have been swept in two series against Lake Superior State and Denver in their four games this year. Now, Michigan State has been outscored 18-6. It is Junior Spartans night at Munn and will be centered around a Halloween theme. There will be a costume contest, many prizes. Kids can trick or treat with Sparty. Tickets are still available, and a family four-pack includes four tickets and four ice cream sandwiches for $44. That should be a fun time at Munn Ice Arena, all right? 11th ranked Michigan State volleyball, now 17-5, is off to one of the best starts 22 matches into the year. 2013 was the program's best at 18-4. MSU 6-4 in Big Ten play, coming off their most recent loss at number 19, Ohio State last Saturday. The team concludes its three-game road trip with two Big Ten matches. The first tonight in Bloomington versus the Indiana Hoosiers. The Spartans then travel to Lafayette to face the Boilermakers. Both matches played at 7 p.m. on BTN Plus. Last night, the Detroit Red Wings topped the St. Louis Blues 2-1 in a long shootout as they extended their winning streak to six games. Henrik Zetterberg scored in the eighth round to give the Wings a win. Goaltender Peter Mrazek was the first star of the game as he stopped 31 of 32 shots in regulation and then saved seven shots in the shootout. The Wings back in action tomorrow when they host the Boston Bruins at 7 p.m. Also, the Detroit Pistons coming off a disappointing season opener against the Toronto Raptors where they lost 109-91. The Pistons look to bounce back in their home opener against the Orlando Magic at 7:30 p.m. tonight. Pistons head coach Stan Van Gundy wasn't happy with the way his team played D against the Raptors. They allowed 40 points to DeMar DeRozan and were out-rebounded 51-40. And rebounding machine Andre Drummond only had six boards and needs to stay out of foul trouble. That's the biggest bugaboo for him. Game three of the World Series. Oh, my. Tonight, 8 p.m. It's reported Cubs fan got to Wrigley Field at as early as 5 a.m. today. So Cubs fans were out there at 5 a.m. today, folks. Both teams have taken turns and have had their way with one another. The series does stand at 1-1 right now. Going to be an interesting game. Again, game three tonight, 8 p.m. in the Shy. Should be an electric atmosphere, folks. And last but certainly not least, the number two team in the country, the University of Michigan football program, undefeated at 7-0, first in the Big Ten. Jim Harbaugh's Michigan Wolverines will be in East Lansing to face your Michigan State Spartans. MSU currently on a five-game losing skid, 0-4 in the Big Ten, 2-5 overall, is a 24.5-point underdog. The Spartans' injury list continues to grow. Malik McDowell dealing with multiple injuries. Darian Hicks still nursing a hip injury. Riley Bullis' shoulder. Tyler O'Connor's foot. Damian Terry's hand. My back. I mean, we could go on and on and on. So many injuries for this team. The game will kick off at noon tomorrow. You guys excited? There we go. I want to see some noise, folks. Again, it's our in-house tailgate show, the first ever. And, again, noon tomorrow, that's the kickoff. It will be broadcasted on ESPN. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, though. We still have a whole show to talk about this rivalry, all right? Stay tuned. Keep it locked to Current Sports throughout this entire hour. We will be previewing the big rivalry matchup as the hour proceeds. Those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. Call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even shoot us a tweet at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports.
Soft touch on the shot. Not, not only off his fingertips, but a little bit of a friendly rim here in the early season.
He's already got 8 points in this ballgame. And make it 10 as he stuffs his hand in the cookie jar.
What a great job of creating his own shot. Right dribble, two dribbles to the rim, and he flushes it.
Welcome to East Lansing, Miles Bridges. He's got 10. No-look pass down low for the finish. That's Kyle Arntz on the flush.
Bridges has been in the middle of the offense all night, having a four-man with the ability to do the different things we've talked about. Put the ball on the floor, pass it, creates open shots for its teammates.
Miles Bridges, 10 for 11.
For Bridges to have multiple moves on the perimeter, his defender's actually going to take a step back in order to protect against the drive. Bridges counters with a three-point shot. He's 3 for 3 from the three already tonight.
Showing off some game here on this brand new floor. Tum Tum leaves it behind, and Nick Ward flushed it from Winston. How about that nifty passing in the paint?
What an unselfish pass by Winston, but again, great rim run by Ward. He gets rewarded with a great pass.
Where were you the night that Miles Bridges scored 33 points in his Michigan State exhibition debut?
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome to the show. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, again, I am your host, Al Martin. It's a busy, busy show today, folks. You know, this is one of my favorite Halloween tracks, and I think when who I call the GOAT, the greatest artist of all time, okay, Michael Jackson, when he made this joint, Isaac, I don't think he meant it to be a Halloween anthem. I think it just kind of turned into a Halloween anthem based on just the crux of the video.
Well, and what happened? Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to say. With right. The video, the werewolf, all the zombie dancing. Yeah, inevitably that becomes Halloween.
Because it's a big weekend here at Michigan State. It's a big rivalry weekend. Of course, you got Michigan State taking on U of M at noon at Spartan Stadium. Make some noise again for that, guys. Oh, boy. I mean, it's going to be a huge day tomorrow. But this entire weekend, and, you know, I'm not too far removed from college. I graduated in 2012. And I know that Halloween at Michigan State is also a very big thing, okay? And it usually starts from, like, that Thursday all the way to Sunday and sometimes Monday, okay? It's crazy. So, hey, be safe. All the students out there that will be celebrating and dressing up and attending parties, be safe out there, all right? It's going to be a big weekend, though. Big weekend. And we will be previewing the big rivalry matchup, Michigan State and Michigan. We are going to have three guests throughout this hour, and in just a moment, we will have Ty Duckett in, former Michigan State running back who played for the Spartans from 1999 to 2001. He is going to share a few of his memories from that rivalry, but I want to start off, you know, mixed in with that Michael Jackson montage. You heard the call of last night's opening basketball game for the Michigan State men, Tom Izzo's troops. And, you know, I was a bit disappointed, though. I was hosting an event, and it went a bit long, and I did not get a chance to see not one in-game play last night, Isaac. Michigan State opened up the year with a bang, and particularly when against Northwood, particularly when it comes to one player, though. Miles Bridges. I mean, this kid, I truly believe this, Isaac. I think this kid could make the jump from college to the pros right now. He could have went from high school to the pros. He is that good. He had about, 33 points last night. You heard Kevin Gill, formerly of Channel 6, now with the Big Ten Network. He was on the broadcast last night, and he said, where were you the night Miles Bridges scored 33? And I really wish I saw it in person, but I went back, looked at the highlights. The kid is unbelievable. You were there.
Well, and what surprised me was the jump shot that Miles Bridges harnesses play after play, because everybody knew he was going to be a threat for the three big slams, like you called accurately, that he did throw down right last game. But the thing is, he's got the handles to be an elite small forward at the next level, and the jump shot is so much more refined than I think any of us expected at this point in his career. He's really an offensive juggernaut, still has some work to work on defense, but when I say that in full knowledge of him having four first half blocks. And to be honest, I thought it was five.
Yeah, it was really impressive what he was able to do. So this is what we're going to do, actually. The game was so big for Miles. We're going to talk about that later on in the hour, okay? We will break down, and we're going to invite our current sports PAs to the show. We actually had Zach Swiezicki was actually in the house to cover that game as well. We're going to invite Griffin Wasik, Zach Barnes, and Zach Swiezicki to the show later on to talk about and reflect on that game last night. But we want to transition now. We're going to get Todd Duckett in the studio right now as we break down again the big game at Spartan Stadium. Michigan State right now looking to stop the bleeding, And, you know, we look at this game, number two team in the nation with Michigan. Michigan State not even ranked right now. It's going to be a tall order, but there are a lot of fans out there, Spartan fans out there, that are speaking from the heart and really hoping that this is the game that they can do it, okay? So why not? Let's get to it. I believe we have a bit of an intro for Todd. You know, when you talk about this rivalry, there are so many big moments that you can bring up. And I tell you what, let's rewind the clock briefly here, because this is a moment that many Spartan fans will never forget. Boy, how can you forget that moment? Michigan State pulling off a stunner in 2001, better known as Clockgate. The Spartans defeating then number six Michigan with 1 second on the clock after Jeff Smoker threw a two-yard TD pass to the one, the only, formerly known as TJ, now Todd Duckett, to steal the upset. First off, Todd, welcome for back-to-back days now to WKER's Current Sports. My man.
Now, 2 days in a row.
We love having you in. when you hear that snippet from what? That was 15 years
ago
now.
Isn't that crazy?
Jeez. 15 years ago, right? I mean, what goes through your head when you think about that moment?
I mean, it was one of the greatest moments of my life. And to be a 21-year-old kid when that happened, I mean, I was excited for our teammates, for the Spartan community, but 15 years later to still get that same energy, to still get that feeling. I mean, the magnitude of the moment, I'm just so happy and blessed that I caught it.
Now, briefly here, can you take us through that moment? When that chaos took place in the waning seconds of that game, I mean, what was going through your mind? I mean, because at the end of the day, you were just trying to make a play and then it ended up being the game winner.
You know, I think Coach Williams and Jeff Smoke, I mean, everybody was so calm and cool. I mean, it was just so calm, cool. We knew we were going to score. It was just be there, cover the details, and make a play. Something's going to happen. Something magical is going to happen. So, I mean, and then you're thinking that, and then you get down to 1 second on the clock. I mean, you gave us a shot. Thank you. And with the play, I mean, it happens. It moves so fast, but the ball was sitting in the air, and I'm in the back of the end zone, and it's just floating. I mean, 1 second felt like 3 days just watching that ball. And the next thing was it hit my hands, and I was like, I caught it. And then there's all type of noise and crowds, and we won. Game over.
And, Ty, when you look back at the video, I mean, you catch the football, and you do it so cool, calm, and collected, as you
That's
just
right.
mentioned.
That's
and you
right.
just throw it down.
That's right.
And the celebration begins.
Act like you've been there,
right? What happened? After that moment, after the game, how'd you guys celebrate?
I don't even remember. No,
good thing, maybe.
I do remember walking off the field, and, I mean, the crowd, people were on the field. Everyone was just frantic. I remember getting back to my locker and sitting there, and That game is actually, my mother passed on November 1st, or her birthday is November 1st, and she passed my freshman year. So that game always was a little extra something about it. So I remember walking in the locker room and just sitting in front of my locker and just thinking about her. And we did it. Go Green. We won. And then I just went crazy and we had fun. And then we 15 years later.
Oh, boy. Just like, give it up for Ty Duckett, guys. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKRS.
But that's how important this game was. I mean, that's what it means. That's what it means. You have one chance. And the kids nowadays, the young men playing, it doesn't matter what the record is. It doesn't matter who first year, fifth year. This is the first time this team, our team, will have a chance to play their team, mm-hmm. that dynamic. And whatever our story is, what issues we have to overcome, what we have to deal with to grow as a team, this is a chance for young men to grow as men in this history and leave their mark in this rivalry. And that's huge to me.
I love that. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we actually have our very first ever in-house tailgate show in preparation for the big game tomorrow. We have Ty Duckett. This is fantastic. We got chips. We got dip. You know, after interview, Ty, feel free. Go over there and get your grub on, okay?
I will.
now, keep pushing it here. I want to ask about just the foundation of this rivalry. Why do Spartan and Wolverines hate each other?
I mean, you can take it all the way to your neighbor is one fan of the other. Your mom or dad went to one school or the other. I mean, we're state divided, literally. And you bleed green and you don't.
Right.
It's real. People have pride. I mean, we've gone to these universities and graduated from these universities and spent years at these universities. And so when you've removed yourself from it, you still are whatever you are in that space. And it's no different than, I mean, don't let them fool you and say Ohio State is a big, it is a big game. It is. But you don't want to be up and down 94, 69 and seeing a Michigan flag, the other guy flag, or see a Spartan flag and know you couldn't handle this that year. That's not
exactly
something that you want to deal with.
And speaking of handling each other, I tell you what, Michigan State, winners of 7 of the last 8 meetings. This year has been a different year, though.
Yeah.
Michigan State right now, it's trying to stop the bleeding, a 5-game losing streak. The first time they have begun the conference year 0-4 in a long, long time, Tide. What has it been about this year where the Spartans just haven't been able to get it together?
It's a rebuilding year within the dynasty. That's what I'm going to call it. We have a lot of guys who came in and literally built the program, built this program. You're going to hear from one of them pretty soon, but built this program and – all the things that it took, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the sacrifice that it took to build this thing, some of these guys have never experienced. They've never felt that. They don't know what that means to be a champion, to be a warrior, to be a Spartan. So this is them earning their stripes. This is them becoming what we all believe our team to be. And as we move on into the next couple years, we'll remember this year as a chance where we grew up, we licked our wounds, and we came back with a vengeance.
You know, Mark D'Antonio had a statement a few weeks ago, Todd, that I think speaks directly to why this team has been struggling just a bit. He talks about how the young pups on this team, and we've seen 9 true freshmen play throughout this year thus far. It's very, very unrealistic, in my opinion, to expect young pups to come in and to immediately click off the bat. And a lot of them have been, as Coach D'Antonio has said, born on third. They don't know what it's like to go to first and second base. They don't know what that grind is like.
Yeah.
How do you combat youth?
Experience. I mean, give them a chance. Give them a chance to make a mistake and fail. And once they fail enough, they'll realize they're flying the whole time, and you can't stop them. Mm-hmm. But they have to be able to walk out into Spartan Stadium in front of 100,000 people with TVs, cameras everywhere, and know that you need to catch this ball. You need to make this tackle. You need to not jump off sides. You need to focus and lock in. And when you're able to do that, and again, it's just we're talking 60 minutes. I just need you for 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. And when you're able to do that, now you're putting the team, the program, as a priority. Winning means something, and you do anything to win championships and sacrifice what it takes. When you get that, you buy into Coach D's program. You like the guy behind me with rings and all the successful that's been here since.
Michigan State, 24.5-point dogs entering this game. Going against the number two team in college football. If Michigan State, Todd, is going to have a chance in this game, what must happen?
They must play mistake-free. They must, penalties, mental mistakes, error, where it's thinking. I don't mean aggressive mistakes, but line up on sides. Don't false start. Things that are within the rules, you can't make those mistakes. And then guys need to make plays and stick with it. Stick with it. I mean, again, it's four quarters, so if you're only getting 3 yards running the ball, stick with it. And most importantly, dig deep in that heart. What does this mean to you? Mm-hmm. Dig deep.
Certainly.
And if you're able to do all those things, man, Michigan has all the stress on them. I mean, we have nothing to lose. We have absolutely nothing to lose. Michigan is, they haven't beat us in so many years, and now they're expected to win. You have to win. You have to win. And if you don't win, it's a failure.
Now, I know this question is going to be hard to answer, though, Todd. What makes Michigan so good?
I think a lot of it is the hunger. I mean, they have been on the bottom of the totem pole for a while, and that they're not comfortable there. They don't like that there. So to bring in guys to clean up the system, to start to get into the head coach there, into his program, and start to mold him into it, it takes time. It takes a lot of time, and he's good at what he does, and they're good at what they do. So for them to continue to have this edge – that's what it's about. That's the game. But then he also got to come through here and solidify what that means. And, some of those guys have been there still when we beat them. So we still got some of the same people on some of these same teams.
Very true. Now, before I throw out a score prediction, I want you to give me a score prediction, and I already know who you're choosing to win the football game. But last year was probably the most thrilling finish in this rivalry.
Yes.
Yours was good. Don't get me wrong. Yours is great.
Yeah, it was great.
But last year, I was sitting on the sideline. I was there with Isaac, and we're sitting there, and just to tell my story, I'm sitting there trying to memorize my post-game rap that alluded to a Michigan State loss.
Mm.
All of a sudden, Blake O'Neal, he fumbles the snap. Then you see Jalen Wash Jackson making his way towards the end zone, and I kind of lost it for a minute.
Yeah.
And Isaac shooting this historic footage. I put my hands on your shoulders, Isaac.
Oh, I remember.
And it made the camera kind of shake, and I'm like, well, hold on, I'm a journalist. What am I doing here? And that moment happens, and we run out, and we get the footage of that moment.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy moment. Todd, where were you when that moment happened, and what went through your
that's
head?
That's crazy. Actually, I was in – I was on a – USS ship.
And I was, really?
Yeah, I was watching the game for a fundraiser for a Boys and Girls Clubs organization. So it was watch the game with me, and it was on the west side of the state, and it was a ship full of Michigan people. So they let me have it the whole game, and I'm in public, so I got to accept it. But I was on the couch just sitting like, okay, this is the game. And they're like, rubbing it in. Then all of a sudden, you kind of look up half eye, and it's like, okay. And then you just go crazy, and then you're the only one celebrating. And everybody loved it, man. Loved it.
I love that.
It
is there
great.
Video of that moment?
I got a little
Do
tiny
you?
Bit.
I got to see that later
yeah,
on. Okay.
It was great.
Okay, give me a score. Yeah, I know you're choosing Michigan State to win. Give me a score, though.
Well, I'm going to say this. I don't believe that those folks in Happy Valley had any questions last weekend of what they were going to do.
Of course, Penn State, huge upset against Ohio State.
I don't think so. I don't think that there's an unrealistic feel. Why should we feel any different? But I'm going to say the score will be 24-21, go green.
24-21, Michigan State.
24-21. The defense, our defense or special teams is going to have to score a touchdown. Offensively, we have to score running, maybe two of those. They say the team that runs the ball the most wins that game in history of the year. So, yeah, I think we will surprise some people because there's a lot of things we got to prove, and we haven't clicked all the way on any of these games yet.
What do you say to the Spartan fans out there? Because a few of them have caught this show. Mm-hmm. A few of them have emailed me and put messages on our Facebook page. A lot of them are hopping off the bandwagon. What do you say to the bandwagon Spartan fans?
I'd say they ain't Spartan fans. I mean, that's what I would say. I mean, when you're a Spartan, this is what it's about. I mean, 300 strong against as many come.
So I love that.
If you, and I mean, no disrespect, but this, how can you go into battle with doubt? I mean, this is a game where it's 0-0 right now. The clock hasn't even started, and they're coming into our home. Man, I mean.
Everything is in their favor right now, I guess, right?
I mean, so with that, let's embrace it. I mean, they can drop a football here and there. They can fumble here and there. We can break a tackle here and there, and it can be 21-0 in no time.
I love it. Optimistic Todd Duggan. Give it up for Todd, guys. Todd Duggan, former MSU running back who played for the Spartans from 1999 to 2001. Todd, stick around. Get some grub, all right, my man?
I will. Thank you. Thank you.
Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite the one, the only Darian Harris, former Michigan State linebacker and captain, who played for the Spartans from 2011 to 2015. That and so much more, you are locked into WKAR's Current Sports. All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And again, folks, if you're just now joining us, this is our very first ever in-house tailgate show. Give it up, guys. Yeah, we've got a lot of our colleagues here at WKAR, faculty and staff that are part of the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences here at Michigan State University coming on in, getting some grub. It's like a tailgate, just with not outside, I guess you can say, all right? So it's been a fun time. We just finished up a great chat with the one, the only, Todd Duckett, former Michigan State running back who played for the Spartans from 99 to 01. And now we invite another leader who is really heralded when you talk about Spartan football tradition. His name is Darian Harris, former Michigan State University linebacker and captain who played for MSU from 2011 to 2015. He was also even a former Current Sports production assistant, and now he's doing big things, trying to make the NFL dream come true. Darian, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Darian, first off, what does this week mean to Spartan football? Getting to play this team, who you don't like, again, they're your rival down the road. What does this mean for Spartan football players? You guys really get up for this week.
Yeah, absolutely. It means a lot. And I think that the main thing about Michigan State is we don't treat this like every other game. I think the cliche in sports from time to time is, oh, you just treat every game the same, you don't change anything up. No, with this game, we know it's very different. I think since Coach D gave his famous prior comes before the fall speech, we've really made it clear that this isn't going to be in any other game. It's not going to be any other week. Practice is going to be ramped up. The coaches are going to be on edge. Everybody's going to be on tip, as they say, come Saturday. So we don't treat this like any other week, and it's going to be exciting, especially since the roles are kind of reversed when you look at the rankings and records and things like that.
Now, Darian, you're kind of in a cool position because even though you've graduated and you're chasing that NFL dream, and we'll get to you know how that chase has been going for you. I actually got a chance to see you in the preseason with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep.
We'll talk about that in just a second. But I want to know, with you being here in the area, I'm sure that you've talked to some of the current players. With what they're going through right now, five straight losses, what has been your conversations like with them? And what have you told them to try and keep those spirits up?
Just kind of what you said. Just keep your spirits up, keep going, keep grinding, and keep fighting. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to be on top every single year. And I think that that's kind of hard for everybody to kind of grasp. But, you know, 2012 happened. That 7-6 year that everybody kind of tries to push aside. But it did happen. And obviously the year after that, we won a Rose Bowl, which is fantastic. So, it's hard to be on top, you know, year in and year out. And I just keep telling the guys to keep going. You know, I'm especially tight with all the linebackers, of course. I'm still in that group chat because they won't kick me out just yet. So still in there with Riley and Reschke and Chris Fry and AD and Shane and all of them. I'm just telling them, just keep leading. Keep leading, keep fighting, because it will click eventually. You know, it's taking a little time. The losses have been tough, but it'll click eventually.
So, Darian, how would you assess the overall morale of this team right now, despite the circumstances?
Yeah, I think frustration. I think I'd be lying if I said the team wasn't frustrated because they care. Everybody on that team cares. Everybody inside the Scandalaris building cares so much about the program, about the tradition, and about trying to keep, you know, hope alive. You know, and it's hard. You know, you come off a year of going to the playoffs, then all of a sudden you're looking at a 2-5 record. It's hard, but this week couldn't have come at a better time. You know, this is a week where everybody can get revamped up, re-energized, and you know, can kind of create a whole new belief around the program and around the community, because Spartan Nation is such a tight-knit community, and everybody cares so much and just wants to see the team do great. So this is a big week.
Darian, I mentioned how young this team is. You being a defensive specialist, again, playing linebacker, you were a captain for this team. Out of the 9 true freshies we've seen, 6 of those have been on the defensive end. What do you make of this young defensive core?
I think it shows us a lot of hope for the future, and I think the future is extremely bright. You know, Joe Bocci is a guy that I've really meshed with, again, you know, being a linebacker and being one of those young guys I saw really early on. I was going to have an impact sometime in his career. I just didn't know it was going to be so soon stepping in last game. But he did such a great job in there. He commanded the defense really well. And you look, you know, across the board, you know, Justin Lang switching over from offense to defense, gets a pick 6 and, you know, his first series pretty much on defense. And there's just so many other guys, obviously, that have gone out there and made an impact. It means the future's bright. Now it's just time to hone in that skill, hone in the immaturity that all true freshmen come with, and teach them how to be leaders. Once they all become leaders, then they're going to be good to go.
Darian, when you burn that many red shirts, again, it's a catch-22 because there are benefits and there are downsides to it. What is the downside to burning that many red shirts that early?
I guess the downside is just development. You got to develop a lot quicker. You know, I think that with our class, and one of the reasons that our class was so special coming into 2011 ended up as a winningest class of all time is because it was like 25 out of 26 guys or whatever it was redshirted. You know, Tawan Jones was the only guy that played, and even he probably could have redshirted when you look back at it, you know, hindsight being 2020. But we were able to develop. We were able to develop on scout team, and that next year we were able to really take off as redshirt freshmen. And then by the time it was our redshirt sophomore year, you saw Jack Allen, Shalee Calhoun, Connor Cook, so many guys that were sophomores, redshirt sophomores, having extreme impacts on the team and on the season. So the true freshmen that are playing is going to have to develop a lot quicker. But then on the other side of it, they're getting a lot of experience early, and like I said, it makes the future look pretty bright.
What can we expect tomorrow afternoon, and what must Michigan State do to keep themselves in this game?
It's going to be a dogfight, and I think Todd Duggan nailed it on the head. The team with the least amount of mistakes is going to win the game. But like you said, you know, we got a saying, they're going to be locked in the woodshed with us for 60 minutes. And when you get locked in that cage, it's just different. And there's going to be some doubt in the back of their mind, back of Michigan's mind. There's definitely going to be some doubt. You know, we won 7 out of the last 8. There's going to be doubt there, no matter the records. Records go out the window. Rankings go out the window. It's just a good old-fashioned football game.
You know, I follow you on Snapchat, Darian, and not too long ago I saw after – I think it was last weekend, after Michigan State lost to Maryland – I saw a snap that really stood out to me. You had a snap of the Paul Bunyan trophy.
Yep.
At Spartan Stadium. And I forget what the quote was, but I think you said something like Paul Bunyan is staying or something.
Yes.
Like that. What goes to your head? I mean, knowing that Paul Bunyan has been here 7 of the last 8 years, I mean, what goes to your head when you walk by that and see him still here in Michigan?
It's really the most important trophy that's in there,
is
really,
it?
When you think about it. I mean, we got a lot of trophies in the Scandalaris building. You know, we've got Big Ten championships, you know, 3 of them in the last, you know, however many years Coach D has been here. We've got Cotton Bowl, Rose Bowl. But that Paul Bunyan trophy is in the front of the Scandalaris building for a reason. And every time it's Michigan week, it gets moved into the locker room so that every time you walk in and out of the locker room, going to practice, going to meetings, you understand what you're playing for in that week. And, you know, I don't spend too much time in the locker room anymore. You know, I let the guys on the team now kind of handle the mood of the locker room since I'm an alumni now. But I wanted to get in there this week. Just to see Paul Bunyan and to remember what it means. Remember the importance of having Paul Bunyan in that locker room and just make sure everybody understands that he is here to stay. He's not going anywhere. And if they want him, you know, they're going to have to come and take him. You know, that's what Molin Labe means. And that's, you know, Paul Bunyan is our sword and shield.
Without a doubt. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Darian Harris, former Michigan State linebacker and captain, who played for MSU from 2011 to 2015. Now, Darian, you know, what is your favorite memory of this rivalry? When you look at your tenure here, a part of the winningest senior class in MSU history, I mean, very impressive stuff. What are some of your biggest memories from the rivalry, though?
Definitely the minus 48 game. I think that one, that one sticks out just because it was defense, obviously, and being a part of that, and just the domination that was that game was just unbelievable. I mean, minus 48 is something. I mean, like you said, you say that around here, everybody knows what negative 48 means. And then obviously last year is going to stick out for the rest of everybody's life. It's just such a special moment, such a special memory, and just one of those. That's the way you want to beat Michigan. You want to have them think they're going to win and then just completely snatch it away from them and pretty much snatch their soul, so to speak. So those two games are just so special to me and to everybody around here and around this community. And The rivalry's big. It's important. And especially for me, an out-of-state guy, you know, to come to Michigan State and immediately, as soon as you step foot on campus, you develop a hatred for Michigan. You understand the importance of the rivalry.
And, automatically, as soon as you step on campus.
As soon as you step on, you just learn it. But that's what makes college sports so great. You know, it's just the rivalries like that. You know, we don't like them. They don't like us. You know, we call them a school down the road for a reason. They probably have names for us as well. And like I said, that's just what makes it fun.
You know, you certainly snatched their soul, quote unquote, with that negative 48 game. And I remember that vividly because I was watching it in the press box. I'm curious, though. Does the defense know that you guys had a negative output against them when that game was going on? Or was that something that you guys looked at the stat sheet afterwards and said, wow, we did that?
Yeah, I think you look at the stat sheet after. And
so you didn't know that you had they had negative yards? You had to.
I mean, we knew that it was negative. I mean, obviously, you know, the scoreboard, you know, kind of shows, and we pay attention to that just to see if we're meeting our goals for the week in and week out. And know, obviously, when you know, like Todd said, you know, when you stop the run, you're going to be successful, and when you run the ball, you're going to be successful. So that's a stat we especially pay attention to. So for them to come out with negative 48 yards, you know, especially on the ground, I mean, that's something that was amazing for us. You know, we didn't know the official stat until after the game, but we knew we were getting after them. You know, I don't know the sack total was 9 or 10 or something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. You can just tell, you know, based on the mood of the game. I mean, defense really sets the tone. It really is the mood of the game. And just you look at some of those guys on that defense and how they were playing. I mean, it was unbelievable output by us that day, and it led to bigger and better things that year.
Darian, no denying that what Michigan has done is pretty impressive. Number 2 in the nation. What is Jim Harbaugh building, and what makes him a dynamic coach?
He knows how to recruit. I think he really is learning, you know, kind of not necessarily on the fly, but learning year in and year out how to get the best players, you know, so to speak, in the country to give Michigan a shot. And I guess you got to give him credit for that. You know, it's been a little weird for me, like you said.
You said, I guess, right? Yeah, I guess we got to get
it. It's been different for me to being on the opposite side, you know, doing a lot of radio stuff and being in this area. I mean, you kind of have to look at Michigan and, you know, you kind of have to diagnose them, else I won't ever be sitting where you're sitting. So you got to be fair sometimes. But, I mean, they are. He's doing a great job. And we knew there was going to be a turn eventually. We knew he was going to get it together eventually, or they'd probably have run him out of there. So, you know, he's turned it around. You know, the season is bright so far. But I think Saturday will be a different story.
De'Aaron, give us a score prediction and who wins.
I got 24-23, Michigan State, of course. I think it's going to be a dogfight. Again, like Ty said, I think the defense is going to have to score. Special teams are going to have to make a big play. I expect a fight. I expect a physical battle. Couple scuffles, couple personal fouls, probably, but it's going to make it fun. You know, refs are going to have an interesting time trying to control both sides.
Okay, Darian, I want you to give us an update, I should say, on what you've been up to now. Of course, you've been doing a lot of things in the media. I saw you, I hear you on the radio, I see you on television from time to time. Are you still chasing the NFL dream? And what was it like going through that preseason journey with the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, absolutely. The dream is definitely still alive. But NFL is interesting. I mean, it's a business at the end of the day. And I guess the best way I you know, try to explain it to everybody is if you take Michigan State's football team, there's 100 guys, and you say 50 have to go, I mean, who's going to go? You know, at the end of the day, some good players are going to go. So I enjoyed my time in Cincinnati. It was a true blessing to get that opportunity and to play in NFL games. I mean, if I never play again, I can say I played in NFL games, which is amazing and phenomenal, and it's always been my ultimate dream. And I did well there. I did well. It just, you know, so happens that being undrafted and, you know, when it gets down to a numbers game, you know, they got to let some people go. But the dream is still alive. My name is still out there. My agent's been doing a phenomenal job keeping my name alive. So if not this year, then next year I'll be in a camp. But in the meantime, been using this journalism degree that I got from the J School here at Michigan State to broaden my horizon and a bunch of other areas. I mean, you know, that's ultimately what it was going to be anyway, because football doesn't last forever. And there's just so many opportunities, you know, around here. I mean, I'm going back to grad school also in January to get my master's here again at Michigan State, because where else would you go? Just because, you know, coming back here, you just find there's so many other opportunities and there's so many things that are a lot bigger than football at the end of the day. And it wasn't going to last forever regardless. But the dream's definitely still alive, and I'll be in a camp pretty soon.
Darian, what was it like putting on that Cincinnati Bengals jersey and running out there for the first time? I mean, that's got to be just an awe-inspiring moment for you. And what's the difference between the college game and the pro game? What did you notice immediately when you started playing?
It was just the mental, I think, was the biggest difference. I mean, first and foremost, you know, running out of that tunnel, was phenomenal. You know, our opening home game, opening preseason game was against the Vikings, so I got a chance to play against Trey Wayans, who's one of my best friends from the Michigan State days. You know, I have my whole family coming to Cincinnati to watch me play, and I got to play an entire second half, and I got to play a middle linebacker because they ended up moving me there. So having a headset in my helmet, you know, getting the calls from the D coordinator, having to set up an NFL defense was phenomenal. And I came out that game exhausted, not from the physical aspect, it was the mental aspect of just being on point every single play. And obviously there's going to be guys that are above and beyond what you've ever seen. I mean, you know, lining up on AJ Green was amazing. I mean, you're lining up on the best receiver in football, and then you're watching Geno Atkins do what he does, Advantes Perfect do what he does, and lining up with those guys was unbelievable. But it was their mental aptitude of the game that was unbelievable, how they understood the game, how they just didn't make mistakes. That was, I think, definitely the most grueling part of it, and the biggest change.
That had to mean that ideally Trey Wayans had to go against AJ Green. Is that right?
Yeah, he did.
Did they match up one-on-one?
Yeah, they did a lot. And that was fun to watch. You know, they actually came in and practiced with us for 3 days. So it was kind of I had an opposite, you know, kind of feeling, you know, having to line up and seeing Adrian Peterson lining up in the backfield opposite me. So, that was surreal when I look back, but at the time I was like, hey, you know, I'm on par with these guys. I can play with these guys. And it was the same thing, you know, coming up with college, you know, when you're younger and you're watching, you know, Russell Wilson out there when I was a true freshman. And then all of a sudden you're out there playing against the Ezekiel Elliotts of the world and guys like that. And you're like, hey, I can play with these guys. I'm up to par with these guys. But it was fun, you know, watching Trey line up on AJ and then talking to him after the game about how that experience was. And, I mean, he's having a great season. Trey is.
He is himself,
you know, picking off
great
Cam.
Great defense with the Vikings right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, Spartans in the NFL, you know, we're making our mark, and we're going to continue to do that.
And we saw Kirk Cousins almost pull out a win over the Lions last week, and that was pretty fun to watch as well. All right, but last thing, I want to go off the beaten path just really briefly here before we get you out of here, Darian. Isaac and I, we were chatting earlier this week about the highest paid college football coaches in the game right now. Jim Harbaugh, a study came out, USA Today did some research, and it shows that Jim Harbaugh right now is the highest paid college football coach in America. And you look at, you know, he's getting paid a little over $9 million this year alone. And, you know, I just sit back and I evaluate the amount of money that coaches get paid. I evaluate how much money is brought in via television ratings each and every weekend, each and every Saturday. And I sit back and say, none of this goes to the players. Darian, you're away from the program now, so you're unfiltered now, okay? And I'm curious to know. I know the Ed O'Bannon case was a big case, you know, when it came to video game rights and all that kind of thing. I'm curious. Did you file at all with the Ed O'Bannon case, and did you get any compensation for your name or your likeness being portrayed in a video game?
Yeah, I did, and that case was interesting. It was actually the first case I heard about. When I got to Michigan State, it was actually a journalism class here, and we talked about it. And, you know, it was crazy that somebody like Ed O'Bannon, who's working at a car dealership, you know, brought it to everybody's attention that, hey, you know, I'm playing as myself in an NCAA basketball video game, but I'm not receiving compensation. So, obviously, they won the case. They won, like, I guess the players got $60 million total, and then it just gets, you know, stretched out
allocated
among everybody.
Right.
So I did get compensation from that, but it was hard to find where to sign up for it and how to get everything in. You had to stay on top of it, and it was kind of a weekly basis. So a lot of guys that I know, a lot of my friends from Michigan State kind of missed out on it just because they didn't find it. It didn't really make it too easy to be accessed, which
so
I
if you want
like.
This money, you got to really come
you
get
gotta
it.
You got to really come get it. But I did get compensated for it, and I think that in terms of, you know, whether athletes should get paid, I think they should. And I think it's going to take a long time to figure out how to make that happen, if ever. But, you know, the thing I always say first is that, you know, getting my degree from Michigan State is priceless. And obviously that is the most important thing. And getting that scholarship was big. But something that I've looked at in the last couple weeks, actually, is the fact that if you don't get redshirted, especially as a football player, you're really only getting 3.5 semesters to finish a college degree, because that spring semester, one, isn't paid for. You know, you'd have to go through a lot of hoops and hurdles to get it paid for. And two, you're training for the NFL. You're not really going to be on campus to get, you know, to go to class and stuff. And, I mean, how many degrees are 3.5-year degrees if you're not coming in with college credits? Every degree is 4 years. It took me 4 years to get mine. I redshirted, so I was done in May of 2015 before my senior year. But that was my fourth, you know, summer.
Right.
And for everybody that doesn't redshirt, you know, you're talking about these nine freshmen that you know, haven't – you know, that didn't redshirt, now they're down to getting 3.5 semesters of school to try to finish a degree. So at the end of the day, it's something to look at when everybody throws the, well, you're getting a free education thing kind of back in the athlete's face. The degree is priceless, and I'm thankful and fortunate that I've been able to receive that on a full ride. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of other things that need to be looked at as well.
I totally agree with you. All right, Darian. Well, you got MSU winning tomorrow.
All right, sir.
Darian Harris, former Michigan State University linebacker and captain who played for the team from 2011 to 2015. Darian, an absolute pleasure, man. And I wish you all the luck in the world post your football career. And I'm really rooting for
it.
I hope you make it in the NFL as well. All right. We'll definitely have you on as the weeks dwindle down here.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Sounds
Thank
good.
Thank you so much. Give it up for Darian Harris, guys. All right, let's hit our last break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by finally giving our final predictions on who we think is going to win, all right? As well as talk about Miles Bridges, who just went off on the hardwood last night for the Michigan State University men's basketball team. That and more. We'll be right back. All right, all right, all right, good people. Less than 10 minutes left here on this version of WKAR's Current Sports. It's been a fun one, okay? Our very first in-house tailgate special. We had folks in and out getting dip and chips and hot dogs and pizza. And I have gotten not one hot dog.
I had some chips. I had some chips.
I didn't get anything.
I was saying before, too, all this homemade food. And guess what I go for? The chips
you
and
go
guacamole.
For the chips.
Come on, man. Well, like, what am I doing?
Now, Drew's dip, did he make that or did he buy that somewhere?
I'm pretty sure it's Whole Foods guacamole
okay.
dip,
oh.
which is worth having. Oh. That is definitely worth having. Okay. Not much homemade stuff can stack up to that. But
that's good stuff.
So.
Okay, gotcha. All right, well, it's been a jam-packed hour, a fun-filled hour to say the least. We've had Todd Duckett on the show to start off. We just finished up a chat with Darian Harris, and now we move along to one of our favorite guests. Anytime we have him on, he knocks it out the park. His name is Deshaun Tate, host, producer, and reporter for CBS Radio down in the ATL, where the weather has to be mighty fine right now. Deshaun Tate, what's up, brother?
Al Martin, what's up, man?
Man, good seeing your face, dude. First off, welcome back to East Lansing, man. You've been here for a minute. You pick and choose your spots when you come back, man.
It's nice and chilly, man. I also have a very beautiful reason to come back very often. So
gotta love that.
Yeah, man. So outside of that, you know, it's green and white. The more and more we start inching closer to March, man, you'll start seeing my face more and more. But I'm happy to be here this time.
Now, Deshaun, your specialty, of course, is college basketball. Mm-hmm. So before I get your thoughts on what is going to take place tomorrow afternoon, Miles Bridges, you probably saw his stat line. Again, it's exhibition play against Northwood. Dude went off, though. 33 points. And I've seen this kid since the very beginning of the summer playing the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am. I think that he could probably make the leap to the NBA. He could have probably gone from high school to the NBA right now. He's that good.
Right.
What are your first impressions of this team?
Probably more than anything, the fact that they're just – when you're talking about youth, that's something that Tom Izzo isn't typically always, you know, used to, and especially relying on his youthful players to be, you know, starters. And in a situation like this, we're just – I mean, it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tougher than what some people think. I don't think it's going to be as tough as some may think. It's all about the expectations of what people who represent Michigan State and those true – diehard green and white fans are. But as far as he goes, I mean, yeah, it was, I think, 33-8 last night or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, people may say, yeah, it was against Northwood. But against Northwood, it wouldn't surprise me if it ended up being, you know, 15-4, which still wouldn't have been a horrible stat line for a guy who's playing his very first game in a green and white jersey. So 33-8, you take it and roll with it, and hopefully it carries on over to Arizona.
We saw two big stories before Michigan State even tipped off this year. Ben Carter got injured, the transfer from UNLV. Then we saw Gavin Schilling get injured for this team. They're thin when it comes to that front court. How do they combat that?
The front line is going to be slim, obviously, with the departure or the losses of guys that you just mentioned. But I like to think that they wanted to go kind of small anyways. And – if anybody can probably help them with that, it'll probably be Draymond Green a little bit, you know, in the sense of knowing what it's like to win with a, in a, with a small lineup and kind of assisting. And it won't be anything totally new. You know, they went with a small lineup a lot last year as well. So I think that it will be difficult. Guys like Kenny Goins is going to have to really, really step up. The freshman Nick Ward being another one of those guys. But we're talking about guys who don't really have the most experience. And even though Schilling has some experience, he doesn't have a ton of in-game experience because he's always getting into foul trouble. And so now you're kind of having to go back to the drawing board. You're having some different issues. But I say the way that you bounce back off of that, you better get ready for transition basketball because it's going to be a track meet for sure.
MSU football, 24.5-point dogs tomorrow against U of M. We've had two guests that have a certain affinity for the program, so I wasn't surprised that Todd and both Darian chose Michigan State to win that game. Not surprising, right, Isaac?
No, not whatsoever.
Deshaun, now, again, you have an affinity for you got your Spartan hoodie on.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah, the video will show that.
Yeah, so certainly. But at this, I love the hat as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's hard to ignore the struggles that this team has had this year. Mm-hmm. They've lost five straight. 0-4 to start Big Ten play. Mm-hmm. What do you expect tomorrow afternoon?
I expect a fight. Like, when you think about Michigan State, you think of stand and fight. Like, that is the definition of what a Spartan is when you think about it. I mean, it's just a matter of they're just going to play, you know, spoiler, they're playing with house money right now. And you don't necessarily want to have that mentality, but the reality is I don't like the idea of some of the guys kind of woofing. I know it's Michigan. It's a big deal. But the only thing the mentality should be as far as going into tomorrow is this is what you come to Michigan State for. The things that kind of got me a little bit distraught or whatnot is the fact that five out of the total of seven games played, the opposing team scored four touchdowns on Michigan State. Michigan State's known for hanging their hat on being defensive anchors. Mm-hmm. That's not what Michigan State – the Michigan State's not playing Michigan State football right now. They have to play Michigan State tomorrow. And even with that stat, five of the seven teams, one of the teams that's not included in one of the five was Indiana, who scored 24 points, and it resulted in a Michigan State loss. So they're not playing Michigan State football, but they have to go back to the drawing board, play Michigan State football. That'll start tomorrow, but they have to realize that it's not too late. You got to play spoiler, and what other better team to start with than the University of Michigan?
And the number two team in the nation. With that being said, we got less than 2 minutes here.
Okay.
Who do you got and why? Give me a score as well.
I'm going with Michigan State.
Going with Michigan State? This is crazy.
Look, man, let me tell you one thing I won't do. One thing I won't do is I will not count out Mark D'Antoni.
Okay.
I won't. And I will say this. Mm-hmm. It's gonna have to take some luck on tomorrow. It will take some luck. Similar to last year, it will take some luck. But I will say this. He's going to try and come out with all these tricks. When they played Nick Saban in Alabama last year, it could have been worse than 38-0. Nick Saban decided to call the dogs off because of the respect he has for Michigan State and Mark D'Antoni. Don't expect that out of Jim Harbaugh tomorrow. If he can put up more than 78 like Rutgers, he will go for it.
He doesn't care. And again, a lot of it has to do with Rutgers being bad. Okay, less than a minute left. I'm going to give my prediction. I'm not as optimistic when it comes to Michigan State pulling out this dub. Going against number two team in the country, Michigan State loses this game. I'm going 21-14. Isaac?
All logic says Michigan right now. But you know what? I'm a Michigan State student. And if MSU can force some turnovers,
if they can
have some injuries who come back and make big impacts, they will win this
game.
That won't happen. Michigan wins 45-7. It's not even going to be close.
Okay, so you're going – okay, real quick, we got Zach Barnes. Real quick.
There's no way. There's no heart in this team. They lose by a lot.
Zach?
They lose by two touchdowns.
Okay, we got some realism here on this show as well. All right, folks, that's it. Our very first in-house tailgate special. You've been listening to Current Sports. We back at it on Monday, folks. Be easy.